Hey, that's us.
Hi, how are you? I'm looking for DeMarcus Cousins here. Here he is.
Oh, is he here?
Yeah,
nice.
I thought he was.
Special
here.
Flight from Rio de Janeiro?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Matt, are you hearing that in there? No, you're not? All right. See, we've been having audio issues.
A case of the Mondays.
All morning where we've got a problem playing sound clips out of here in my room in from the station computer. Nobody cares about this listening, by the way. Whereas in there, they sound just fine. So I was kind of hoping that we'd be able to get that all fixed, which I thought we did over the break. Apparently we did not. Trust me when I say that was DeMarcus Cousins with an inbound dunk as Team USA throttled old China. A lot of things to get into over the weekend. Here's one, and this is from our friends at TMZ, and this was picked up quite a few places. Katie, I know you were out of town, and Nate, you had stuff to do. I'm not sure if this story came across your desk, but amongst others, DeAndre Jordan, DeMar DeRozan, and our very own DeMarcus Cousins, and it says possibly three other players went out on the town Wednesday night in Rio, and they strolled into an establishment called Termas Monte Carlo, which allegedly they thought it was a bar, but it turns out it's one of the high-end brothels in all of Rio.
Did they say bar? I thought they said they thought it was like a massage parlor or something.
Yeah. When you call the place, it tells you that it's a spa that plays music.
I have a funny story about a massage parlor. Can I tell it?
Please.
Okay.
I think I speak for everyone.
Nate, that just made me laugh because on Tuesday after the show, I went down to San Francisco and I was there for a couple days. And on Wednesday, I really, really badly wanted to try and get a massage. I haven't had time to get one here. And so I was like, you know what? Like when I lived in New York, there's massage parlors everywhere.
Yeah.
You can just go and get into one. So I get on my little app on my phone, like called Around Me or whatever, to find like these massage parlors. And they're all over the place, right? You go, I went to like four different ones. This is not a lie. You go, it's like you have to ring the bell to get in. And every time you ring the bell and they poke their head out the door and they see that there is a woman standing there, they go, that you have to schedule an appointment. They're like, there are no walk-ins. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
No walk-ins.
Different rules.
Yeah.
Different rules for in certain places.
Yeah.
And this is one of those where a source close to the team said the players got the standard line when they called. They assumed everything was okay. They realized it wasn't the right place for them, and they immediately left.
Stop it.
Now, as for what happened, and this
they know better than
nonsense.
To do this at the Olympics. They know better.
Hold on.
I believe
is it illegal?
This story.
Well, no, it's not. But
it's just there's so much media and so many people watching you. You're not going to go. You're going to do that when you're on vacation by yourself.
It says,
if you do it at all.
As far as what happened inside the spa with music, the players were only seen hanging out at the bar. Multiple sources told TMZ they bought booze and nothing else. Here's the thing. We're all cynical, and we should be. And we all understand the NBA lifestyle. You know, it's not. It wouldn't be the first time, I think, and I'm not trying to tell tales out of school. I don't think it's the first time an NBA player may have gone to a brothel in the world ever. But if TMZ is reporting it, and then on top of that saying our sources –
You know what? Maybe they're going there because they're trying to end sex trafficking. Like,
right,
like Adam Roach.
Hey, I don't understand why there's like a reason for him to be there, but anybody else goes.
Is there a chance in your mind based on the way TMZ, which would lean towards the more salacious reporting they usually do. If they're saying the players realized it wasn't for them, they left, and all the sources say that they were just at the bar ordering booze and nobody ordered anything else. I don't know why I
tend to
believe
it. I just want to know why they want to get off that boat.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the point?
But
you've got a casino in there.
You're in Rio.
Yeah.
Because cruise boats are just mobile porta-potties.
Oh.
If you're in Rio, you want to get out and see things.
Not that one.
I mean, don't you, if you're down there, you're mid-20s millionaires. And you've never been to Rio. You want to get out and check out the city.
You know, like, to me, this is an of course they were type
but
of thing. Like
they've
know,
got security. You would think that the security would be local people They would absolutely know what that place is, right?
Hey, to me, listen, the absolute worst case scenario is what? That they knew what was going on and they went into
and
a
they got caught.
And that's the worst case scenario? I don't give a damn if that's what they want to do in Rio,
I don't
especially
either.
If it's not illegal.
I don't, as long as nobody, listen.
That's a good time, man.
Is it? Well, I've never done.
If that's what they think is a good time.
Yeah.
As long as they don't
I've
bring
never done
any,
it,
as long
know.
As the only souvenirs they're bringing back from Rio have the Olympic rings on it uh-huh. and nothing else that, I don't know, might
no
keep
well,
rings.
When they're passing out, like, you know, 500 condoms
yeah.
to each athlete,
yeah.
what do they expect them to do? Bring them back? They need a carry-on bag for that. You might as well put them to use. You're going to have to go buy an extra bag to pack all your condoms.
I'm okay with, I don't know. I've been to a strip, and this also sounds equally as BS as, but I've
chauvinistic.
Gone, I've gone to it. No. I'm
okay.
saying I've gone to a strip club before and
just watched. Just
exactly. I really have. I was the last strip club I went to was. 2-3 years ago, it was the MLS All-Star Game in Portland. I was going up to work and
yeah.
cover that and all that. And I was walking with a buddy along the street, and there was a strip club, and we had nothing to do. And we went in, and I drank, I swear on my kids.
You drank root beer, didn't you?
I drank RC Colas.
Oh, my God.
Because I was so stoked they had RC Colas.
$25 a pop, I'm sure,
yeah.
too.
Nate, no. That's the thing about Portland strip clubs, apparently. Number one. Do they
have free refills on soda pops?
The colas were $1.50 a pop.
Ooh.
Heinekens were $3 a piece.
What's the catch?
Oh, they try to get
you
either
Portland.
High on sugar
oh, okay.
or completely hammered, so that then you're maybe spending more money on their real
well,
ticket
no, I
item.
Mean, I, yeah.
And
but,
here's the other thing: if you've ever been to a strip club, you know that. When the girls will go up. And they'll do, a minute and a half of a song or maybe even
or
a full
guys.
Song. Or guys.
You're
yeah,
talking about
yeah,
like
right.
on the stage?
On the stage. They'll yeah. dance for half a song, a whole song or whatever. These girls went up and did like 3 song sets. Like the DJ would blend in the end of one song. He'd mix the 2 songs together.
Well, duh. You know why? Because that's how when you're back in the back room and you don't ever hear the song end, they're like, hey, guess what? You owe me $200.
Exactly.
That was 4 songs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do.
I mean, that's the thing. And
it's a DJ's job.
That I've never
wow.
I've never done the private room thing before, but I would imagine you're right.
Well, it doesn't have to be a private room either. Like, if you
sure,
pay for a
sure.
dance, it's like, you know what, let's say $40 a song. That's if that's a number. I don't know. Let's say it's $40 a song, and you're like, man, this is all right. And then before you know it, you're like, hey, that's $120. Well, I only heard 1 song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Captain DJ High School Dance had it all just smooth right through there.
I think the point in front here we go. I'm
you're really not paying attention, though,
no,
are you?
No.
Text line from the 530. Let me guess. You went to the strip club because you like how graceful it is. And I'm not going to lie. I have noticed before, and when I've been to a strip club, I have remarked to friends there going, wow. First off, how do they walk around in 20-inch heels? And B, how do they do that? They go up on the pole, mm-hmm. and then they turn upside down, and then they, like, pirouette
down. You know,
down.
You can
That's
actually,
impressive.
You can actually take a class
yes.
on that.
Yes, I do.
So I kind of, like, had a desire to figure that out. But then I really started thinking about it logically, and I'm like, then I'm going to get addicted to it, and I'm going to have to install a pole in my house, and
wait,
then I'm going to have
yeah.
to explain that to people when they come over for, like, the barbecue. Like, why do I have a stripper pole in my house? Like, are you moonlighting? Don't they pay you enough at KHDK?
Right.
Like,
hold on.
Same reason she's got the...
Did we just roll over that?
We did.
So, hold on. So, there was a time...
I'll bet you'd
be
a nightmare on a pole.
I mean...
Yeah. Well, then I was like, I'm so close mm-hmm. to the top of it. Like, would it really be all that impressive?
Yes.
You know? Kind of like...
Yeah, kinda.
Like, I could always touch the ground on the pull-up bar. Like, was it impressive to see me do a pull-up? Or
yes.
was I helping myself a little bit?
So, you had an opportunity at one point. You considered taking...
I thought about taking one of those pole dancing classes just to see what it was like.
Wow.
But then I was like, no, I know myself. I'm competitive. I'm going to want to be the best at it. Then I'm going to have to get one of those poles in my house, and then I'm going to have to explain it to people. And yeah, there was logic behind this. There was an actual thought process behind why I wasn't going to do the pole dancing class.
I have a proposition for you.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, what if I
don't accept singles.
That's
what if I took it with you? Would you do it?
Oh, my God. Yes, I would.
Would you totally?
Yeah.
Because it would be an absolute dumpster fire with me trying to learn how to dance on a pole. But I'm just saying, it would be, I would take one
You're
for
gonna
the,
take one for the team?
I would take one for the world.
You guys can have that one.
You know what? Nate, I think you're...
I would excel.
I think you would excel.
Guys.
I think you really would.
From the 530, the Portland strip club catch is that the women look like Dee Snider. From the 209, from the 509, from the 530, I go to strip clubs for the articles. And from the 209, it's a valid question. Dave, you know, I've been married 9 years last month. All right, you got to kill that music. Thank you, Matt. I'm trying to not get out of my seat and dance. Somebody, that's not a good idea. Somebody said, hey, how'd the wife feel about it? Honest to God, true story. I actually called my wife as I was going in. She was laughing. She does not. My wife, absolutely.
You have to understand, Melissa.
Me.
Yeah.
Her motto, and Katie, you can back me up. My wife's motto is this. Look at me. Now look at you. If you ever want to cheat on me, go ahead. You get to do it one time. And good luck rebounding. That's pretty much her motto. And you know what? She's 100% right.
It's worked so far, huh?
Yeah, so far. So here's the deal. That was the Team USA thing. And I don't know, do we believe that they were innocent little doves?
I look at it this way. They're at the Olympics where security is extremely heightened.
Yes.
Especially in Rio with all the news that was coming out before the Olympics started.
Well, remember when we went to China.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know what it's like.
There was a ton of security. Yes. We had to go through security meetings.
Anywhere you go, anytime they step off of that cruise boat that they're on, there is security all around them. And if they're going out casually... They absolutely knew where they were going because their security absolutely knew it. You don't just coincidentally walk into a brothel in Rio. But okay.
That Team USA walks into a brothel. That is the start of a joke.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't hurt
them. Then they only got drinks.
Yeah,
the punchline?
They went there for the articles.
Yeah, they went there for the articles.
And then imagine...
I've got one that'll never make it. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
What, a punchline? Mm-hmm. Yeah, best if your instincts are telling you not
yeah,
to say
it. Yeah, if your instincts are saying it,
let's just move on. You know what would be fun, Katie, is if we could get... I wonder if we could get a player to take that same class with us. Now, that would be really funny. Because I feel like an NBA player might be good. Because they're athletic.
Here's the thing. Some people, not you, Dave, some people might look down on strippers.
I don't look down on anyone.
Their ability to do that, I think that's one of the reasons I want to do it. I think it's going to be really hard. And I'm like,
I agree.
Well, if she can do it in a G-string, I can do it in some yoga pants.
Oh, wait, hold on, though. When you're taking this class, you're not in uniform,
no,
are you?
No, you're not in uniform.
You can.
I was going to.
Hey, now.
Yeah,
you were
going to
take
my mind
it too.
On that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can wear, like, my yoga pants.
You can wear my cutoff Mercury
t-shirt. Your Phoenix Mercury muscle shirt. I wear the yoga pants because it makes my ass look nice. All right, well, it obviously didn't affect the team because here is our very own DeMarcus Cousins making points against China. From the 925, I'm already giving him the text of the day, or her. Here's the joke. Team USA walks into a brothel. Harrison Barnes still doesn't score.
Hey!
That's fine work. Whoever you are, take a bow.
That's the one.
That's fine work indeed.
Oh, that's fantastic. This
was an argument I was having with a buddy of mine over the weekend about Team USA, who destroyed China. They'll more than likely not try to
destroy everybody.
No, I don't want to jinx it, but you're probably right.
Oh,
you're probably
right. You do the superstition thing. Right.
Exactly. And
I feel like five people would have to blow their ACLs for it to be a competition.
Oh, my God. Don't even put that out there.
Oh, God.
Hey, listen, a couple of things. First off, the Sacramento Kings had the starting center for Team USA this year. That was a neat moment when he also scored the first 2 points. At one point, it was DeMarcus Cousins 4, China 4, which was phenomenal. Or maybe it was 6-6, something like that. I think he had the first 4 points. I know he had the first 2 on free throws for Team USA. And, yes, there was a part of me that was like, Sacramento.
You were probably waving your finger and your hockey jersey,
absolutely,
eating popcorn. In your man cave, just geeking
loved
out.
Loved it. Our very own Sacramento Kings scored the first points of the Olympics for Team USA. That was grand, great, and wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But then at one point, he went over to the bench, and it looked like he was clutching. At first, I thought it was his hand, and somebody said his groin. He got a little tangled up, And immediately every fear I had about him being on Team USA came back. Oh, great. Here we go. He ripped his groin. He's out the rest of the Olympics, which I don't care about. What I do
care
about. You
should be more worried about the Zika.
Whatever. I just want our player back in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
And during the game, Doug Collins, and by the way, DeMarcus went back in, was fine at 17 points, second only to Kevin Durant. Doug Collins, who's doing the color analyses for the Olympics, said
before you say this, I'm just going to preface this by saying he is one of my favorite analysts out there.
Sure.
He really is.
He's as good as it gets.
He is really, really just a very knowledgeable guy.
He said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, you know, it's a shame. I'd really like to see DeMarcus Cousins on a different team, a team that, you know, basically has their act together. The idea being he's being wasted in Sacramento.
Did he specifically say, I want to see him traded from Sacramento so that he can be on a winning team?
I think he said something like, I want to see him on a different team. I'd like to see him on a team that's more functional or whatever it is. The problem
is, why is that a bad opinion?
And that's kind of what we need to get into is, is it a bad opinion? Here,
said it is important.
This probably won't work, but I'll try it anyway.
I would love to see DeMarcus Cousins get on a team that was pretty good, to really watch him and get a chance to see him play on a winning team. Because in this environment, he plays well.
All right, so I'm playing it off my phone that I recorded off the TV because they didn't put the audio out today. But he's saying I'd like to see him get into an environment more like this one, which is impossible to duplicate unless you're the Warriors, you know, duplicating an environment like Team USA. But what do you know? He's on a team that's beating everybody, and he's an absolute angel on the floor so far, although he was talking a little bit to the refs I caught in the, I think it was the third quarter. So the question is, is it Doug Collins' place, job, to bring that into the Olympic coverage? Do you just want him to call the Olympics and save the NBA stuff out of there? Or are we just being maybe a little bit sensitive because he's talking about taking him out of Sacramento?
You're trying to tell me that during the entire Olympic games and every basketball game that's played with Kevin Durant in it, that they're not going to talk, not even once,
mention
the fact that he went from Oklahoma City to Golden State.
You're 100%
right. You're being a little overly sensitive. I didn't know. I thought from what I read, it was like, oh, he needs to be traded, that kind of situation. Then I would have had more of a problem with it. But for him to say about maybe the most talented big man in the NBA right now, to say, hey, I would like to see what he could do on a winning team. There's nothing wrong with him saying that.
Get out of the dysfunction in Sacramento.
That is where you take issue with it because you're a fan.
But he's
not
wrong.
But you have to admit that the entire time he's been here, it has been nothing but dysfunction.
It's not wrong. The only issue I would take is that, and again, no bigger homer than I when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins. I think that's established, but it's the problems, I think, are mostly the fault of the franchise, but DeMarcus Cousins is not blameless in all this either.
That's a huge part of the problem.
I mean, I think what you're saying here is that what really hurts most about this for Kings fans is that I got distracted. I'm sorry.
My beauty does that to you, doesn't it?
It's your smock.
I know.
It's my smock.
It really is. I don't have a problem with him saying it because what hurts is the fact that it just brings to attention the fact that this is the perception of the Sacramento Kings franchise.
Yes.
We can shout all we want about equal parts blame of this and that. Like, the truth is, this is not something that he's just throwing out there. This is the perception of the Sacramento Kings.
And
not the player's fault.
It's the same. I mean, it's the same for the new ownership group, for Vlade, because when Vlade took over, all of this is like, this is years worth of just drama and chaos that each new person that comes in is taking that on. It's like they can't live it down either. They have to completely turn it around. And in order to do that, anyone with a brain knows that it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. A new ownership group, a new GM, new coach, it's not going to like flip the light switch and everything changes. There is years of dysfunction that this organization has had going back to past ownership and all of the chaos that happened there with moving the franchise. It's going to take a while. And yes, DeMarcus is not blameless in this. But at the same time, like you said, this is one of the things I've always thought. I wonder what it would have been like if he would have gone to a different team,
a winning team, a San Antonio, a Lakers,
because they had Phil Jackson at the time, like an established coach like that, because he is a volatile player. But I think a lot of people are volatile when they're just perpetually upset and disgruntled.
I think one of the reasons it bothered me a lot being Homer McHomerton is that the elephant in the room when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins in my brain is that I am such a fan of his. I'm so in love with his game. Yet in the back of my mind, I realize that I think if we're sitting here this time next year and the Kings are in the same position and we don't see a road to improvement, a clear road, I think my better angels are going to take over than my demons on my other shoulder. And as a DeMarcus Cousins fan, I'm going to want the Kings to trade him.
Well, there's a time in for every franchise when you have a fantastic player, but you're not winning, that you have to use that leverage that you have to gain multiple assets to try and rebuild. How long do you have a player of the caliber of DeMarcus Cousins on your team without actually surrounding him with talent to win games?
That's the thing. He's certainly not blameless, but I don't know of too many other NBA players that have had more dysfunction around them for the first 6-7 years of their career than DeMarcus Cousins.
He's got the least amount of control over his responsibility in this, right?
I mean, but he has control over his reaction, so we can say that, right?
I think
he's doing just fine with Team USA.
I know.
Yeah. So far.
So far.
But yeah, I'm just saying the Olympics aren't over. I don't want to jinx it. But more than likely, yeah, he's been great with Team USA. Remember, Jerry Colangelo called him out 30 seconds into his Team USA career and said he's immature. Mm-hmm. He needs to figure it out and be a professional. Guess what? He responded to the heavy hand and the control because he respected where it came from, and he did just that.
Yep.
He's been an angel on Team USA.
And any thoughts that maybe Doug Collins has seen that from the inside and understands exactly how much that structure changes a guy like DeMarcus?
The good news is that I think he was well on the way there with Michael Malone, and maybe Dave Yeager's the type of guy that can pull him out of the water at the last minute and make something out of it. We'll take a break. We'll come back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Been watching the coverage of the Olympics almost nonstop. I'm already thinking about when I go home today, what I'm going to fast forward through, what I'm going to watch. Fencing, archery, watch some field hockey. I enjoyed
field hockey.
Yeah, field hockey, man. I'm telling you.
How'd you never play field hockey, Katie?
Great point right there.
Because it wasn't offered up in the sticks.
I'm just saying, like, you're badass. You'd probably be really good at it.
Anything that involves violence, I mean, seriously, I think I would excel at it. My favorite sport, truth be told, my favorite sport is volleyball. You cannot foul out of volleyball, and you can hit things really hard and hit people in the face.
I have a question, but go ahead.
I was just going to ask you if you watched any of the indoor, the men's indoor
volleyball. I didn't watch the indoor. I did, weirdly enough, choose to watch the women's beach volleyball.
Weird.
Oh, weird.
So, for real, here's my question here, and I'm going to try to sound as not chauvinist as possible. I actually think I'm on the side of the female here. I watch women's volleyball for two reasons. A, it's actually really amazing to watch them do the things they do on a beach. I'm serious. Some of the plays they make are ridiculous. I also watch it because there's awesome butts all over the place, and I stare at them quite a bit. As in
rear ends, behinds, behind. Cabooses?
There's just no bones. I'm not going to try to dance around it. Beach volleyball butts are amazing, and I look at them, and they wear these skimpy little bottoms that in most cases ride up, and you're just...
Jeez.
No, here's the thing, because I'm going to get killed for this, so stop the music, because I'm going to get killed, and I'm actually asking this for a legit question. Why is it... I don't want them to change this now, but why is it that they wear those bottoms? Why don't they wear, like... why can't they wear, like, yoga shorts or some sort of spandex on the bottom?
Because they're actually more comfortable to do that.
I'm surprised dudes don't wear Speedos, honestly.
Yeah. For real?
Because all you need is to keep your stuff in place. Other than that, like, you don't want cloth, holding you back.
That's what I'm saying. When you're diving...
It's hard enough on the sand to move.
Sure.
Get a little sweaty, get a little sand in your shorts. You're getting,
That's what I'm saying. When you're in basically damn near a thong, and Katie... I'm going to be as sensitive as I can here.
Go ahead.
You're diving all over the place.
So you're wondering if sand gets in there.
I'm pretty much sure that
sand gets in there for dudes, too, and they're wearing board shorts.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I didn't major in anatomy, but I got to guess that sand in that section for men is probably a little less problematic than
so
the other way
here's
around.
Here's the thing. You're overthinking this per usual.
Okay, well, yes, yeah. I'm not a woman, so girl, explain to me exactly how, I mean.
Okay, there's actually this device that you, as a woman.
Wait, is this going to get gross?
There's actually this device as a woman that if you're going to go out to a sandy place, that you put into your bathing. No, Dave.
Okay,
it's a lie. There's nothing.
I thought she was serious.
No, I was not serious.
Just a little bit of duct tape.
Can you believe
that?
Yeah. She had me.
Oh, my God.
It's like, tell me more about this device.
It's like a little plug or something.
I'm all ears. Please explain more. I'm just wondering, and I'm on the side. I think I'm on the side of the female volleyball player here that. Wouldn't it be more comfortable in short spandex?
Those are actually, no, I disagree. It would not because it's going to rub all funny. It's going to chafe in places you don't want it to chafe.
But they wear them in cycling.
Those tights, but they're not on the sand. They're not having to change direction and move laterally and dive and all this stuff. They're sitting on a seat.
I just wondered. I'm sitting there watching. I go, God, there's got to be more functional bottoms for them to wear.
Those bottoms are so well made that they're not really moving around. They're protecting that area. I can't believe we're freaking spending time on this.
Is it a little too distracting for you?
No. Screw me. I'm actually wondering. The question I honestly had is I found myself leering, as many guys will, at the women's beach volleyball, and I found myself asking what I think is a very sensitive question, which is, are they wearing these for functionality, or are they also wearing them because, hey, there's ratings?
No, it's functionality.
Okay. Because I saw, what's the Madonna baseball movie?
League of Their Own.
Thank you. When they made
the Madonna baseball movie.
No. When they made them wear.
Rosie O'Donnell was in there. Why didn't you pick Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, and they made them wear the skirts, and then they you know, like Rosie O'Donnell lifts up her skirt. She's got a big raspberry on her thigh, and they're like, hey, that's what put butts in the seats. And I'm sitting here, and I'm going, God, you know, is this fair? Like, I don't mind, but is it fair to the athlete that they're wearing these skimpy little bathing suit bottoms while diving all over the place?
You really think you're like fooling anyone into thinking that you're some sort of social justice warrior?
No, I've disclaimed it like 30 times. I don't mind.
So I'm going to tell you this.
But I'm asking about the functionality.
I think there's a combination. Functionality-wise, it's the best thing for the person that's actually wearing it. It might not feel comfortable for you to go out there in those bottoms, Dave. But it is, and
they're really great for lunges.
You're fully aware of me, like when I'm outside in the sun, I'm not gonna like have a t-shirt on for a while and then take it. Like I don't like tan lines, so I'm not gonna be like they're in the sun out there.
Well,
but they're also
diving around. Is my point on sand?
No,
they literally are diving around on sand. It's true.
He's acting completely brand new right now.
No, I'm not.
Completely brand new.
What are you killing me on this?
This is the first time beach volleyball has ever been played.
I probably thought this the last time. We need to get a beach volleyball rule person on because here's my question. If somebody was like, you know what, those skimpy bathing suits aren't working for me,
more coverage.
I would like...
They get to wear what they want.
See, because I've never seen, and maybe it's just because I don't watch women's beach volleyball all the time, but I don't recall ever seeing a women's beach volleyball player wearing, like, bike shorts or spandex instead of a bathing suit. I would like to know is, would they have the option of wearing those, or is there some sort of rule against that?
Probably. I mean, I would imagine it comes down to, like, ultimately, it comes down to the functionality of getting rid of the sand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that so? If you've got like just that little bit of extra coverage, like if you're just using a little thong or something, it's just, I don't know, you just pop it open, you shake the sand out.
Matt, they're overthinking this so much.
I'm telling you why I said
this right at the very beginning. I'm surprised that men don't wear skimpier outfits when they do that.
Yes.
I would want to be out there in like nothing but a jock strap because I don't want anything sweating. I don't want anything getting sand on it that I can't just wipe away. Like, none of that.
It's not even about that. It's about impeding your ability to move.
But that's why. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, the second you get sweaty and you've got, like, board shorts on, then they stick to your legs.
Is that what the guys are wearing as board shorts?
They wear board shorts.
That to me is crazy.
That's actually, there you go. So why aren't the women wearing
board
shorts?
But they don't have to wear a shirt.
True. But why wouldn't the women wear board shorts? And the
we
guys
have to
do.
Wear shirts. I don't I like tops. No, I don't understand.
Why don't men wear Speedos?
Come or on. Vice versa. Exactly. See, that's the thing.
This.
There's a difference
this isn't
between
hard.
The two.
Come on,
it's an all-time
guys.
Low.
It's a hell of a question. Why is it an all-time low?
Guys, I can't.
You want to talk about the functionality of beach volleyball?
So, like, in actual, like, indoor volleyball,
yes.
I played on a team that had, short-sleeve shirts and shorts. They weren't spandex. It was the worst thing because it's actually a sport that you need to be able to dive and roll and swing your arm and, like, have full, like, functionality in terms of range of motion. There's a reason that they wear the uniforms that they wear, the attire that they wear. This is not, like, the first year the sport was created.
Then why is it different for guys and girls then in the same beach sport?
Yes, Matt, we can break.
No. But think about this during the break because I want to answer this. So why is it different for guys and girls
with beach
volleyball?
It's what's socially acceptable for them to wear.
That's what I've been after. Okay, so there's a social element to it. Took us 20 freaking minutes. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wrap up the show on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Come and join KHDK at the new Sunworks Solar Design Center tomorrow, 4 to 5, 6694 Lone Tree Boulevard in Rockland. Meet Sac Republic FC players, part of the team that drew with San Antonio on Saturday at Bonnie Field. They'll be signing autographs, taking pictures with you. Visit KHDK.com for more information. Got a couple pair of tickets for the 11th and 12th caller. This is a cool prize. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Two pair of tickets, one each for, well, one pair, I should say, for
Duke.
Each winner, two winners, to go see Steve Martin and
Whoa.
Martin Short.
Oh,
which
what?
They really should call that Steve Martin Short at mm-hmm. Thunder Valley Casino and Resort, Friday, August 12th. That's this Friday, 7 p.m., ThunderValleyResort.com. Katie, call. See if you can get it.
You know what? What was you that should. Number again, Dave?
That's 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Now, what is it? Is this them doing music or are they going to do comedy? I honestly don't know. I hope there's like comedy interspersed in there too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would imagine so. They're both very funny because Steve Martin's like a banjo guy and he tours.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Part. I mean,
yeah,
I knew
yeah.
he was
like
a banjo guy. I didn't know that he toured.
Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm less interested in that.
Steve Martin Short.
Right
Katie,
now.
You had a trivia question.
I do. So obviously, Ichiro surpassed the 3,000 mark.
Well, hold on. I believe we have actual sound of that.
All
it's,
right.
It's Ichiro breaking, or I should say, having his 3,000th
yeah.
hit. Right here. And
actually, right.
Right. There we go. All right. So that is.
Okay. So he's the 30th
yes.
Major League Baseball player to reach this milestone. But just the fourth player outside the United States. So the trivia question for you guys. Can you name the other three?
Hold on, three non-American
outside
born players?
Outside of the contiguous
the
United States, which is
US.
Like the, yeah, no, contiguous is like the things that, you know, like closely.
Not Alaska
yeah.
and Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you name the other three players?
Oh, it's got to be a
if I gave you the country,
yeah.
would you be able to, can you do it without the country?
It's got to be from Latin America.
Okay.
It's got to be someone from
yes.
Latin America.
Yes, all three. I will do it alphabetically in terms of the country. Mm-hmm. Your first clue is Cuba. I can't believe you guys don't get this one.
Is Roberto Clemente one?
He is, but he is not
nice.
From Cuba. He's
yes.
from Puerto Rico.
Clemente.
Okay, so you got one.
From Cuba.
I'm a complete
yeah
on
I feel
one.
Like this is one of those ones that it's you know there's gonna be people who know this
yeah.
it's one of those things that's obvious
yeah
Clemente,
this one
Clemente
is,
how many did you say they were
there's three
Clemente
all of their names their first names start with an R
man
Ruben
Sierra
no
not the guy
Roberto Alomar
no
good guess though
yeah
Randy Johnson.
Robin. It's not
Robin
Cano,
Ventura.
Robin. Ray
Lankford.
Ray.
Richard
Ronald.
Aurelia.
Ron. Rich. Rick. Rob. Robert.
Okay.
Randy.
Not even a little bit. You don't even get it. Not even. You don't even have a little bit of it. Don't look at the text line.
No. There's
yeah.
No,
don't look at the text line.
No,
okay.
No. There's nothing on there. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't cheat.
Okay, so you got one.
Rondell.
You got Roberto Clemente.
Right, Roberto Clemente, Ryan.
Nope.
Ryan.
Rick.
Nope.
Oh, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know
yes.
that one, too.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Now, I think the third one is definitely the hardest.
Yeah, it is. Oh, but it is. I know. Well, it. So Dave's going to have to eat
this
one.
Okay, you looked it up? You're a horrible person.
Okay, give me a
hint. I didn't look it up. I was helped.
Okay. You're disqualified.
You helped him? Don't help. We've got a guest in the room.
He's been good for 53 minutes.
Yeah, and then he just
Hey, come on. Give me a hint. Give me a hint. Come on.
Panama.
That's not a good hint.
Okay.
I honestly think we could give him the team on this one.
Go ahead.
Cardinals. Wait, I had it wrong. Sorry.
No, I don't think
so. I'm thinking of someone else. Sorry.
This is the worst trivia question answering ever.
I'm wrong. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I'll just give it to you. You're never going to get this.
Come on, give me another hint.
I don't know another hint.
All right.
That doesn't just give it away.
I'm done because I'm an idiot. I didn't have his name right. I cheated.
What is his first name?
Rod.
Oh, Rod Carew.
Angels. That's it.
Rod Carew with the Angels.
I was thinking of Lou Brock.
Yeah. Rod Carew with the Angels. Damn it.
That's all you needed?
You know what? Honestly, I didn't think Rod Carew came from outside America.
He's from Panama.
Yeah, I did not know. I would not have guessed that. Rod Carew, Angels.
Yeah,
damn it,
so
damn it,
Ichiro,
damn it, damn it.
The fourth player to reach the mark outside of the United States. 30th overall, fourth non-American, I guess.
But not the hit king.
Not the all-time hit king.
Hey, Nate. Not the hit king.
Yeah, well.
You and your deadspin hippies can stay.
And not the home run king either, Dave.
He's definitely no.
He's certainly not. Nate,
Does anyone have the number for like how many hits Pete Rose had after the age of 27?
I think Ichiro is second only to Pete Rose. Okay. I think I read that.
That was an honest question.
Pete Rose is the only guy who had more after 27 hits than Ichiro. So there's that. I mean, Ichiro got a lot of
The Beatles were pretty big after 27.
Hey, that's a great point right there. And though Ichiro got many of his hits in a far, far inferior league over in Japan, which we of course have to acknowledge there, right? Right?
But, anyway. But those are his overall.
I'm just trying to bait.
Yes, I know you are.
It's not happening. No. That's like a joking argument I make. Like there's no He didn't do it at the major league level, but come on, man.
Pete Rose, the career hits leader obviously, Dave not the home run leader. I feel like every time I got to say that. Is the only player to collect his 3000th.
Yes.
By his 16th season.
Wow.
Yes.
Pete Rose is a fine
Yeah, and Ichiro, obviously, he is in his 16th season right now.
According to Sky Sports, there was a kayaker that was out practicing, and he ran into an issue in the river stream, whatever he was. No, it's
I
not.
I saw this.
Did you see it?
Oh, no.
His kayak was capsized because he ran into a sofa. He ran into an underwater sofa, which apparently
an underwater sofa that for mermaids?
Yeah, apparently so. It escaped Ariel's cabin, and he hit it.
Did he have a dingle hopper too?
No, but he probably had a few dingle berries, judging by the look of that river. Yeah, you know the CDC has said. CDC has said, hey, don't open your mouth in the water while this poor bastard capsized because he hit a couch.
Gross.
Well,
jeez.
Could be worse, I guess.
Right. You'd be kayaking through O.co's outfield. That was for you, Matt. Bottom line is,
whoa,
dear Lord.
Keep it clean, Matt. This is a family program.
Apparently not. All right. Thanks so much to, I don't know.
None of us deserve
anything. None of us.
No. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. Nothing went right today. We'll do better tomorrow. We apologize. You know, that's how we should end every show.
Yeah, we'll do better tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
You know what? You'll do better tomorrow because I won't be here.
Yeah, no Katie tomorrow or Wednesday. Hey, it was nice knowing you.
Bye, Katie.
I might be here Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see if you're here Wednesday. Hi, I'm here on Wednesday, guys. I feel great. For Matt George, Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen and her smock, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Jim Rome is next on Sports 1140 KHDK.